RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. So this week, Josh, we are going to be doing our first summer special for the year, summer special number 13, which covers, boy, I don't know, everything for the last 2 months here, including San Diego Comic-Con. We got other casting information and some teases about characters coming back to season six. That's so weird. When I heard Stephen Amell talking about how they were shooting episode 116.
Oh, that, wow.
I know. They've done 115 episodes, so...
Okay, well, I need to just take my notes here, erase my notes. I just had a whole page of notes. I thought we were going to talk about Where's William, but apparently, I guess we know now, so I guess those notes don't really.
Yeah.
I'll just go with whatever you have. That's cool.
Okay. I feel like, you know, we got a lot of that in the season finale, right? I mean, you know, he and William, I'm sure, are just... You know, everybody blows up on the island. And it's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Hey, let's go to Disneyland. And, you know,
that sounds
bonding.
Yeah, that's what I figured. They're bonding. You know, I want somebody to go take all of the clips of Stephen Amell saying, "Where's William?" and just auto-tune it into a song. Could that?
There you go.
it'd be a hit.
He's going to sit him down and say, "William, did I ever tell you how I met your mother?" And we're going to get a whole spin-off. Then so
works for me.
yeah. So, well, as I kind of teased earlier, there was a lot of information that's come out. But as I started to compile everything, I mean, even though there were, you know, they had their San Diego Comic-Con panel, and there was like a live stream that they did for Entertainment Weekly, I think it was, or you know, something else. It was basically the cast in like a hotel, talking about very similar things that they did during the panel. Like I said, we also got some casting announcements, but they haven't teased as much as they have in the past, and the trailer doesn't show nearly as much as like the Flash trailer or the
right.
Legends of Tomorrow trailer, which I find interesting. It feels to me just a little bit like they're holding back, which is, in my opinion, a good thing at this point, given how over the top they've gone. But they're even
well, because of the finale and the cliffhanger that they left us with, you know, who lives and who dies. I mean, they really can't give us too much. I mean,
everybody was on the panel. I mean,
well, they're talking about their, you know, they're talking about their experience. They talked about mostly what happened last season. They only teased us. The only thing they teased us with was that Black Canary is alive, because we've seen her costume.
We've seen Black Canary, and we know she's going to fight Black Siren, who also obviously survived.
Right, sure.
So, and then Oliver, we know he's still alive, and William, because we saw them in the trailer.
Right.
And then, oh, all these other characters, because they're listed in the... I know. I'm just being cynical about this. It's like them trying to make us believe that Oliver actually died, you know, over the, what was that, season two, season three, over winter break?
Oh, yeah, over winter break, yes. Yep.
When he got stabbed.
Stabbed. just a little bit.
Fell off a cliff.
Impaled.
Yeah. I just, for me, these kind of big moments where it's like, really, you really want me to buy into that? It works so much better in a streamed environment, like when you can binge watch the show. It would work better just not as a cliffhanger for the winter or for the summer or something like that. of course, you know, but they are getting the fans to talk about it, like, and that's what they want to do. They're trying to engage in that, I guess. But I'd rather personally have them blow up the island. It's like, okay, how are they going to get out of this? And then just next week, they go to another episode. That would be – it would be interesting to have these big cliffhangers but not used for, you know – you know, season and mid-season finales and stuff like that.
Right, so they can do all the cons and stuff over the summer and actually talk about things. But
yeah,
you know, that's okay. For me, you know, my kind of opinion about spoilers and how that goes.
Yeah.
And so, I thought they gave us just a taste, just a bit of a taste, and we kind of know that they're at least most of them are going to be back. So now all we got to do is just talk about why we think or how we think they are going to be back.
Sure, sure. Well, you can currently watch – so here's some of the news that we found out kind of before we got to San Diego Comic-Con stuff. If you want to right now, you can currently watch Arrow on Netflix if you want. But if you don't have Netflix or you want to own the Blu-ray or the DVDs to put up on your shelf – you can get them on September 19th. They're coming out. I think it looks like it's about three and a half weeks before the show premieres its sixth season. Now, remember, they're not going to be on Wednesdays anymore. They are moving to Thursdays this season, and they're going to go an hour later too. So it'll be 9 o'clock Eastern and Pacific. So, October 12th for the show and then September 19th for the Blu-ray. So,
I'm definitely going to looking forward to picking up the Blu-ray and, seeing if they have any features like they used to give us, but, not really holding my breath too much, but
yeah, there might be a gag reel and yeah, that's it.
maybe the Paley Fest. The Paley Fest panels are always interesting to watch.
It is. So. I mean, it is 30 minutes of stuff, but unfortunately, it's about the season you're buying. So it's, you know, about season five. So it's a year old, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Anyway. Yeah, but either way, I still look forward to it. I like there's my collection of CW shows on my shelf is starting to look, you know, very respectable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're making the CW respectable.
Yes. Doing my best. So, you know what? It sounds like Helix, the how would you describe this? The hacking organization, the I can't remember what they described themselves as. The they're doing good for other people through creative hacking. But anyway, it looks like they're going to be back in season six, which I don't think this is really a big surprise to either you or I because of how they left last season, you know, and they just kind of picked up and left, but they were all still out there.
Right. And even though, you know, they kind of left Felicity in the dust and kind of said, you know, they don't want her anymore. I there's still going to be something going on between them. Obviously, there's, you know, some connection there. So.
Ooh, I found it. Hacktivists.
Oh, hacktivists.
That's what they were. Right. Yes. so I think actually this, and I may have even, I don't know if we talked about this on the show or if I was talking to somebody else, but it may be an opportunity for having them be a fairly significant villain in this season, or not a villain so much, but you know, an antagonist, right? So,
sure.
It could be. I think they're probably bringing back some big bad guys that also, you know, can do stunts and have abs and things too. So,
well, and they. Remember, they Felicity helped them rescue their leader, I guess, but we never saw who he was. So if they do come back, there's, you know, room for the group to have a point person, you know, a mastermind that's running them. That's not that girl. That's
that might not be as personable and likable as that girl.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. So, well, fans of Arrow might be interested in this. This is not specifically Arrow news, but if you do keep up with the actors from the show, Colton Haynes, who, of course, was Roy Harper for a number of seasons here on the show, is showing up on the, oh my gosh, seventh season? Holy crow, I didn't realize it was this old, of American wow. Horror Story.
I didn't realize it was that old either. Interesting.
Yeah, so Ryan Murphy tweeted out a picture of him with bleach blonde hair and lipstick that's kind of smeared all around his – well, lipstick on his lips, but then it's kind of smeared around his face, but it also looks like it could be blood.
Are you sure he wasn't just hanging out with Emily Bette Ricards again? Is that
– Yeah, no, and it doesn't look like his Halloween costume, though. I'm wondering if he's going to be in drag for it, you know, so.
Could be. So, well, I'm happy to hear that he's returning to acting because he was taking some time off to work on some, you know, real personal reflections of his life. I don't even want to say issues necessarily, but just I know, you know, he's very active on Twitter. And so I'm happy to see that he's, you know, comfortable enough to return to acting again. So that's great.
Yeah. And hey, here's another actress that's appearing that you and I are fans of, Billie Lourd. Is going
really?
To be in the season as well. Yeah.
Huh.
I may have to watch this season.
Have to start watching American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I have some friends who are big fans of that series.
Yeah, I've got people and it kind of changes every year from what I understand. So
right.
You can, you know, it changes what's going on. So let's see, Evan Peters, Sarah Paulson, Billie Lourd, Leslie Grossman, Adina Porter, Cheyenne Jackson, and Billy Eichner will also be joining Colton this season, with events based that draw inspiration from the 2016 U.S. presidential election, with the first episode taking place on election night. So, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll leave that right there. So, let's see what else. What else we got for season six? They teased us a little bit, yeah?
Well, they said that we were going to get some returning characters, and they announced who one of them was here.
All right. Well, so Manu Bennett is going to be back.
Good to see you, kid.
So I guess he survives.
Right. See this
we
is
just
the problem.
Place the puzzles together. That's all we got.
Yeah. Well, but the other exciting thing besides that is they also teased that there is one more character who we haven't seen since season one that's returning. Yes. You and I know we're on the same wavelength.
Oh yeah,
of who it is.
I know who it is.
On three.
Sure. Go ahead.
One, right. Two, three.
The Ryza, Russian the Russian maid. Oh
yeah.
See, we know that's it. It's got to be it.
Yeah.
At first, I was kind of holding out hope that they were going to get her spinoff series.
I
out
know
there.
It's. You know what? I just don't know that the. That the marketing is there for that. It's too popular.
I just figure that they had gotten there's so many other shows on CW they can't fit it right now, so they're saving it.
Yeah.
So they're saving it for when the superhero market bottoms out, right? Is that
right? Yeah. You gotta as soon as they do that, then they start doing the spinoffs of the help from the superhero shows.
Well, if it's not the Russian maid. From season one, who else do you think that it might be?
Wow, if it's not the Russian maid from season one, I mean, who else was in season one that we haven't seen since season one?
Let's see.
Manu Bennett, he showed up in season two, right?
Yeah.
So we've had Moira's been around since then.
Let me ask you this because it's hard for me to keep them all. Keep track of them all now, but have we seen the Huntress since season one?
We have not seen the Huntress since season one because she went off to Las Vegas or whatever to do a nightclub act, I think.
I thought she was a dealer.
But this is an odd one, and we definitely haven't seen him, and there's a good reason for that, but we haven't seen Tommy since then. But as we talked about last season, he is the actor is engaged on another show right now. So that, I mean, there's a really good logistical reason why we haven't seen him show up. But
there is.
Maybe they could work something out.
I will also remind you that we still don't know who Vigilante is.
That is true. They were teasing that in one of the panels at San Diego Comic-Con. Mark Guggenheim said, you know, we don't like to reveal someone and then, or, you know, put a character on the show under a mask and then have them be revealed to be someone you've never heard of before. So he was teasing that, you know, it would be someone recognizable there. Boy, I don't know. It's, you didn't go back and watch season one of Arrow by chance this summer, did you?
I didn't. That's one I haven't gotten to yet. I actually really wanted to go back and watch the whole series, but I couldn't quite fit it all in.
You've been busy with The Flash, I know.
The Flash, and yeah, I've watched a lot of stuff this summer. So, I still can do that. Just because my summer's almost over doesn't mean I can't go back and start watching Arrow, too.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up showing up there. But what we did find out, besides Manu Bennett getting announced that he'll be returning as Deathstroke, they are going to give him a two-part episode, a two-part flashback episode. So they're going to be doing some, while they may not be doing flashbacks with Oliver, they will be doing flashbacks with some other characters.
Wow, I kind of feel lied to.
You mean that they reneged on one of their promises that they said that we'll absolutely never ever do this on the show?
Yeah.
Used to it.
Yeah, that's fine, I guess. I don't really mind flashbacks as long as they're, you know, well incorporated into the story and stuff, but okay.
Well, I think it'll be interesting I think fans really want more of Deathstroke. I mean, obviously, he's a very popular character. They've talked about using him in the DC movie universe. Heck, they've already cast an actor for a movie that isn't going to shoot for like 7 years or something like that. So, you know, it's obviously something that the producers know is a fan favorite, and which I always get a little cautious about because, you know, fans want what fans want. And they don't like it when they don't get what they think they want. See Star Wars prequels. but the problem with fan favorites is that as a creator, you have to be you have to be able to hold yourself back from giving the fans everything they want because, you know, it's like, I really want ice cream, but I know if I eat too much of it, I'm going to feel sick, and then I don't want ice cream anymore. So you have to be able to, as the creators, portion that out so that you don't kill the enjoyment for a character. I feel like in comic books, you know, like the Punisher is a good example of a character that just got oversaturated for a long time. A Wolverine, another good example. Boba Fett is something that, you know, people have clamored for more and more information about these characters, and then all of a sudden they're just not as mysterious or cool anymore. They're just like oversaturated, you know, in the market and stuff like that.
Like you said, you know, I mean, people want what they want. They want to feel that same feeling they felt the first time they experienced it, and that's almost impossible to replicate usually. So,
yeah.
But hey, he's a good character.
Keep going back for it. So,
yeah, he's a good character. Manu Bennett does a really good job with it. That what they've done so far has been extraordinary, both season one, two, and in this season. So, you know, I think there's lots more to tell with Deathstroke on this show. I say go for it.
Well, and we've got the possibility of Oliver helping him look for his son to, you know, connect another father-son storyline, which I thought was a really interesting element from the last couple episodes there of season five. And as we've talked about in previous seasons of the show, Joe Wilson is a very important character in Teen Titans comic history. So as they, you know, maybe bring some more elements of other pieces of comic mythos into the show, that could be really interesting.
Yeah.
We had announcements about one other actor that was joining here. Did you happen to see this one?
Which one? Well, what do we got? You tell me.
Michael Emerson is going to be joining the cast.
Yes.
From Person of Interest, but I know him best from Lost.
Right. Ben, right? Wasn't he Ben?
Yeah, Ben. From Lost? Yeah, he was Ben on Lost, yeah.
The mysterious character who we couldn't figure out for the longest time. Actually, I don't know that I ever figured him out.
This
was one of those announcements at Comic-Con that got a pretty big cheer. You know, I think he's an actor that people have appreciated the roles that he's been given because he's would you say he's a character actor?
He's a character actor. I mean, and he shows up on enough genre shows that, you know, he's got the fan following, like you say. I mean, Lost was, I think, really one of the first things he got noticed for, though he had done a little bit of work before that. And then I think Person of Interest really was his follow-up to that. I'm trying to remember if he did anything in between that. And then and now at least this season of Arrow. So he's going to be playing the part in a villainous cabal, as they were described it at Comic-Con, where this season is not necessarily going to have just one bad guy. There's going to be a group of bad guys, which I'm interested to see how that, you know, they may work that, but sounds like it could be interesting there.
His name will be Captain Cabal. No, that's not what they meant by Cabal, is it?
He's going to be playing Dr. Bong. Actually, no, I think that's a Marvel character, so forget that.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Actual comic book character, Dr. Bong. Check it out.
I believe you.
Yeah. Well, so why don't we talk, since we've teased some other stuff about what they talked about San Diego, we can talk about some of the other stuff here. Well, like I said, there's going to be kind of a group of villains. They said that Anatoly Kanaevs will be back. David Nickel, who his roles seems to have, well, hopefully will have changed a little bit because, you know, he in the flashbacks, he was a friend of Oliver's. But when we met him in the present, in the last third of season five, they were not getting along at all. So it'll kind of be interesting to see how that shakes out when he comes back. And also, Mark Guggenheim talked about not an actor, but a character that they were bringing in, Richard Dragon. Now, I don't know. Do you know anything about this particular comic book character, Richard Dragon?
You know, I do have some kind of vague memories of this. And I can't remember what comic book I would have seen him in, but he's
maybe
kind of
Richard Dragon Kung Fu Fighter.
Was that the name of his comic
book? That was the name of his title. Yeah. So, well, I mean, he was, you know,
he's like a martial arts guy.
Yeah. So he's one of DC's martial artist comic characters who was created in the mid-70s, very much like Iron Fist over at Marvel, you know, to kind of capitalize on the whole kung fu craze that was happening there in the mid to late 70s. But what I found interesting is the fact that Guggenheim mentioned that he was going to be a villain. And historically, the Richard Dragon character is a good guy. You know, he uses his martial arts for good, not for bad. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing some reading up on him over on the ever-popular Wikipedia, I guess the New 52 version of Richard Dragon showed up in Green Arrow number 23 from a few years ago. And he actually is leading a team of Green Arrow's enemies, referred to as the Longbow Hunters. So there is a current storylines from the New 52 that, you know, paint this character as not necessarily a good guy. Though, you know, in comic books, he has trained a number of characters like The Question and The Huntress and Renee Montoya, who is the second Question, and also Lady Shiva. So he's, you know, he's well versed in the street level superhero genre here. So be interesting to see what they do with him. Yeah.
Well, and that's a good character to have on Arrow, on this type of show.
Very visceral character, not necessarily one that has superpowers and stuff.
Right, so. Exactly. So, and I know they've been trying to get kind of back to that, which they did a good job on season five. So,
yeah. What anything from San Diego that kind of stood out to you that you wanna discuss here?
Oh goodness sakes! Okay, so yeah, I'll start at the top. There's one that I really want to talk about at the end. It's more about Stephen Amell than Arrow, but I want to make sure.
We talk about him all the time. Yeah, it's fine. No, it's fine. That's fine.
He's so dreamy. but you know, speaking of that, Stephen Amell gave some very kind words to the fans, and he's always very, I don't even want to say generous, just appreciative, I think, of the attention. And even today I saw a video that he posted. It may have been a recent video. I think it was, but it's just him. You know, he likes to just record himself talking a little bit in front of the camera and stuff, but he was just saying, "Oh, I'm having so much fun." I think that's all he said. It was just him in his Arrow makeup, and he's like, "I'm having so much fun." So he just gives such kind words. The other thing I wanted to point out, I saw a thing with James Bamford. This is the only thing I saw with James Bamford from Comic-Con, and I don't even think he was supposed to be on the set. Guggenheim called him over and to make this sort of announcement or claim or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He said that there's going to be the stunts this season are going to be more realistic, and he said wider. Now, I don't know what he means by more realistic. I think they look pretty realistic now, but I like that he said wider stunts, because I love when they kind of give these big shots of stunts where they're not quick cuts that you could kind of do with editing, more of showing Bamford style or abilities to do these stunts. And so I'm looking forward to the stunts this season. That's a big one.
That's really cool. And if I'm not mistaken, I think because you know how Guggenheim will tweet out the first page from the scripts that shows like who's the writer and who's the director and stuff like this?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Bamford is directing the first episode of the season. I'm going to bringing up my notes here real quick. Oh. Yeah, James Bamford is directing the first episode, which is
I'm not going to have to wait to see these wide stunts.
No, they're going to kickstart the season with it. It's called Fallout, and it will premiere. So let's see. He did the first two episodes of last season. So yeah, he's really getting quite a resume here.
Nice.
It's great.
It is great. It is great. So, well, now Wendy Miracle was there as well. She did a couple of the panels. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think her and Mark Guggenheim both did the panel, the main panel.
They did the main panel at San Diego, right? And then Mark Guggenheim, I think, was in that live stream. Like I said, the Entertainment Weekly live stream or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, right. So, but this is kind of interesting. And you were talking about what was his name? Richard Dragon? Is that it? Richard?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Richard. Richard
Dragon.
Just call him Rich.
Rich Dragon.
Rich Dragon. She said that the season six is going to be rooted in the comic books. So, you know, Green Arrow has had such a diverse history in the comic books as opposed to some of the other characters like Superman that have had, you know, a lot of different storylines and characters, but it's always been pretty much the same Superman. Whereas Green Arrow has gone dark, he's gone light, he's gone somewhere in the middle, and it's very interesting. So I don't really know what she means by rooted in the comic books as what that's going to look like, but it sounds like they're going to be drawing some characters for sure, and possibly some storylines from the comics.
Well, I mean, there's so many different aspects of Green Arrow, like you said. I mean, you've got the really crazy stuff from the Golden Age. You've got, you know, the classic stuff from Mike Grell with the Longbow Hunters or other storylines from like the 80s and the 90s. You've got all the modern stuff. You've got the 1970s going on the road with Green Lantern. I don't know that they're necessarily going to go in that direction. But, you know, Oliver's presumably going to still be the mayor. And so I would think that they're really going to get into doing the, you know, Oliver and his, the public knowing about his, alter ego and stuff. Cause we're getting to the point where it really doesn't matter nor make sense for him to keep that a secret much longer. You know, I can definitely see that coming to a head, and that really could, serve as a good, like jumping off point for a lot of conflict on the show, because of course other characters may not agree that they want to have their, you know, secret identities identified and stuff like that. So right. it could, you know, lead to a lot of,
yeah. And we, friction. We speculated that that was going to happen last year and it never did. So it certainly could. I almost feel like season six is just a continuation of season five. I mean, that sounds stupid because it is a continuation of season five. They all are, but it almost just feels like it's just kind of flowing with that, you know, I mean, almost like a, instead of a summer break, just kind of a mid season break, but
yeah, hopefully it will feel like that. I mean, I hope they do just keep the momentum that they got from the end of season five, because I think, you know, they really did a lot of, there was a lot of good that was done there at the end, and to keep that moving. And, you know, I think it's cool if they want to pull more stuff from the comic books. I mean, shoot, they feel like they pull plenty from the comic books in terms of at least characters that they want to use.
Not storylines so much, though. They haven't really done a lot of storylines in Arrow. Flash, okay, they've done tons of. Are you okay with that? You don't. There's not a particular storyline you'd like to like them to hit on from the comics.
No, there's nothing that. I mean, they've, you know, they did the Island storyline, kind of, which is, you know, a key one. What's the Arrow Year One? I guess.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it would be nice for them to do the Longbow Hunters. I have a really soft spot, but that's also a really violent storyline
really.
That I don't know that it would translate well given what they've done with the characters to date.
Yeah, I agree with
I'd
that.
Rather just have them be true to the characters and, you know, take elements about Oliver and some of the other characters from the comics, but also just be true to the characters they've created on TV and just tell me some intriguing storylines that, you know, make us sit there and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. And, you know, just engage us with, you know, positive shows and stuff like that. Cause again, I I don't know that there's particularly one storyline that I want to have them tell.
Yeah,
there may
I'm
be villains I'd, you know, have them bring on or something like that.
I actually think that's probably why they haven't done too many of the storylines from the comics, just because some of it would be really hard to translate over to this show, especially how these characters have grown. So,
yeah. Let's see. There, some of the questions that were asked during Comic-Con, again, like you said, they couldn't really talk about what was going on. Katie Cassidy, I think, kind of talked about the most stuff here. People were asking, you know, what did they really enjoy? Like, what were some of the darker moments that they really enjoyed with their characters? She said it was probably the exploration of her relationship with Quentin as Black Siren. And she thinks, you know, she kind of kept looking over at Wendy Miracle through the entire thing and kind of what she could and couldn't say. But it sounds like they're going to do, you know, more exploration with that this season, which completely makes sense. I mean, I think anybody that's paying attention to the series can see that. And that's a really interesting and engaging storyline for me, you know, that your daughter has died and now someone from an alternate dimension or parallel dimension, alternate Earth, shows up and looks just like her, doesn't act like her. And, you know, what would that do to you? And, you know, you probably want to have a relationship, but this is an entirely different person. So,
yeah, I think that's, a great, I mean, I kind of figured she'd be back and they had some interactions, but, that's a great opportunity to kind of explore that relationship with her.
And it sounds like they're also, going, you know, again, based on some of the footage we saw from the trailer and everything, it looks like, Black Siren and the current Black Canary, Dinah, are going to be exploring
their relationship
between them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
they might see some. We saw a brief but brilliant confrontation with them at the end of the season this year. That was good. Just seeing them cancel out their canary cries there was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah. and just, you know, because that's going to be an awkward place for Oliver to be, having, you know, someone who was a member of the team that now is not really part of the team because she's been replaced by somebody else, but it's not the same person anyway.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if you and I could go back and tell the, you know, season one or season two, Jay and Josh, where Katie Cassidy was going to be by season six and how that character was going to, that is completely different than what you and I had speculated.
Right. Yeah. It's gone in entirely different direction. Let's see. Emily Bett Rickards talked about how she enjoyed playing with Felicity's kind of dark downward spiral, which I got to say, I was not a huge fan of that storyline, but it will provide a little more substance for her, I think, in this season, and maybe they'll do some more interesting stuff with it, or some stuff that I find a little more interesting.
Well, at least it gave them the opportunity to go back and explore Hive again. I don't think Felicity will be doing that again. I don't think she'll probably go to that dark place with them, because I think they're kind of mad at her probably. Or
yeah. Let's see. David liked the kind of the switching of the teacher student role that he had with Oliver. I think he was talking about the beginning of the season when Diggle was in jail.
Yeah.
And Oliver kind of had to give him the pep talk and everything like that, which was interesting.
He also discussed that this season is probably going to have the island, right? The events that are happening on the island have a major impact on Diggle, and a negative impact, not a good one. So don't know what that means. Is he going to die, or something going to happen to what's his Lila? Lila, something going to happen to Lila there, or their daughter, or, you know, so kind of.
Oh, you mean their son?
Their son, excuse me. Well, I'm from a different time period. Sorry.
Oh, you've been watching Arrow on the CW in an alternate.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm Flashpoint Josh, so I'm thinking they have a daughter. No, that.
Oh, so you were watching on the WB.
Yeah, exactly. CW, what's that?
Yeah.
I don't know what the negative impact is going to be, but I worry about Diggle now after hearing that.
Diggle is such a great character, and I think David brings a lot of a lot more to the part than they probably envisioned at the beginning. I mean, he's one of these guys, you know, and I feel like this is kind of becoming a trope. You've got these really just kind of big guys that are intimidating, but they seem to have the kind of the emotional core to the storyline.
Thank you. Yeah. That's my role on this show, right? That's a,
Right. That's what I was trying to get to. I was going to go a little broader for the audience out there and talk about like Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, just because they have more experience with that. But no, that's cool. I'm glad you brought that up, Josh.
Well, there's a similar look between me and Drax, so I think, you know.
Nothing gets over your head?
Right.
So
if it did, I would catch it.
sensitive nipples. Right. I got it. So, it's, you know, it's this kind of imposing, like on first blush, you look at this character and he says, wow, he's this imposing guy. He's got these, you know, big arms and just, you know, he's trained, in military combat and tactics and stuff like this. But he's the guy that, you know, he's got the moral and emotional center for the show. And he got so lost over the last couple seasons. And, yeah, I do kind of worry about what kind of hit they're going to give him this year because, you know, of course, it makes it more interesting for us. But it is a character that we all, I think, really enjoy and love. And we don't want to see them get too miserable. So
yeah, I agree.
Willa Holland talked about how she enjoyed Thea's darker temptations, being able to, you know, blackmail people, which I thought was really interesting because, of course, it speaks to her lineage. And I'd like to see that a little bit more. You know, her real dad, of course, is the Dark Archer, Malcolm. And he will not be around anymore. And you know, unless some crazy timey-wimey damn it Barry sort of thing happens. So.
Speaking of which, yes. I want to say a get well soon to our old Malcolm Merlyn there.
You sent me a very funny text message about, not that we should be joking about this, but it was still.
Well, he was okay, but yeah, that was funny. He's just had his appendix taken. Was it his appendix? Yeah.
Is that what I told you? Yeah, appendix.
He had to go.
That's
and take
what you
it.
Told me, at least. So.
Yeah, I think I couldn't remember if it was something more serious than that, but he was tweeting or Facebooking live or something a video straight from his hospital bed, and he had already been given his medication. Before he started this video, and his family was in the room with him, and I thought it was cute because he kept reverting to this very thick, I guess, Scottish accent when his mother talked to him. Was it, okay. Is it Scottish or Irish?
I don't know. I didn't watch the video, so.
Anyway, he just got his appendix taken out, so hopefully he's recovering well and everything is okay with him.
Yeah. Well, that's a boy. I mean, for that to happen later in life like that, that's kind of scary.
Well, and John Barrowman was just at, I guess, San Diego Comic-Con, some Comic-Con. Because and having fun as usual, as John Barrowman does when he goes out.
It was fabulous.
I saw a picture of him in a Doctor Who dress.
In a Doctor Who dress, of
yes,
course.
It was, yes.
Echo Kellum talked about how he liked the moments that made him stronger, you know, and made him try harder to be a better hero. But actually, the best part of Echo's part of the panel was a fan asked him, he said, okay, you're a superhero and the bad guys are coming and you only have moments to get there. How does Mr. Terrific braid his hair so fast? And everybody just busted up at that. They thought that was really, really funny. Mark Guggenheim jumped in and said, well, it's because he's a metahuman, really, and stuff like that. He's like, yes, that's my superpower. That's the one awkward superpower that I get. But then he said, really what happens is Kid Flash comes over and does it for him, which everybody cheered for. I thought that was very clever. Good job thinking on your feet, Echo. That was nice. And then Wendy, I don't know if this was in the actual panel or if this showed up in a separate interview, but of course, one of the big questions on a lot of fans' minds is how are you going to top Invasion, the Invasion crossover that you did last season?
Ugh.
Which I worry, and I can't remember if I talked to you or if I was talking to one of my coworkers about it, but I don't want them to top it. I want them to do something equally as cool.
And different.
And different, right. But she said, Wendy Miracle said they did have a upcoming four-way crossover. So probably, you know, start on Supergirl at the very, very end and then go to Flash, go to Legends, and then it'll end up on Arrow because Arrow will be on Thursday nights now. It's going to be very much rooted in the DC universe, quote. It's going to be an epic story that I think fans will be really excited about, particularly comic book fans. Okay. So probably not Crisis like we talked about earlier,
I know what it is.
Earlier on our Flash show, I guess, is when we were talking about that. So
it was the big crossover with the Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny characters. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, so they've been that's something they've been doing this summer. Tasmanian Devil meets Wonder Woman, Batman meets Elmer Fudd, that kind of thing.
Either that,
Martian
or,
Manhunter meets Martian Marvin the Martian. Yeah,
wasn't it a Flash that a comic book a few years ago that did a Kentucky Fried Chicken team up with the Colonel or something?
yeah, it was the Colonel from an alternate reality, and I think there was another KFC comic that came out a couple weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, with maybe Wonder Woman in it.
Oh, okay, I missed that
probably,
one.
Yeah,
but, you know, they've done over the years, especially back in the 90s, they used to do these annuals, right, where they would have this big overlapping storyline. They had one with the character Wave Rider, not the ship from Legends
Armageddon
of Tomorrow,
2001.
Right, which was actually one of my entrance drugs or to the comic book back when I started buying comic books again.
Mainlining these things, just kind of rolling them up. And,
oh, you have no idea. and then they did one with Eclipso, you know, and they did a, what was it, like Bloodstroke or something
Blood
like that. that.
Bloodlines.
Bloodlines, right, right. So they, right, they
Eclipso,
used to
– The Darkness Within.
Uh-huh.
And then they did Bloodlines. Now, they could do something like Legends, which would be interesting. But it, if they're going to do it like the comic, they need to involve the New Gods, which I don't really see them introducing that concept into the CW shows.
Yeah, probably not, especially when they're going to be doing that into Justice League, it looks like. But
what is that, a new TV series?
It's like a free comic books in cereal boxes, I think. I don't know. There's a lot of good opportunities out there. You know what? This is wild. They won't do this, but wouldn't it be wild if they did something like the old, I don't even know if they still have these, but the Elseworlds comics where they took the just characters from the DC universe and put them in completely different settings, like the Old West or Batman in the distant future or something like that. But they won't do that. But
Gotham by Gaslight was the first one, which they're doing as an animated show or an animated direct to DVD series. That's going to be one of the upcoming animated shows they're doing. But you know, Red Sun is another popular one. That's the Superman one. What if he landed in Russia instead of Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
So there are, I don't know of a specific Green Arrow Elseworld, but that would be an interesting kind of a what if storyline, alternate universe. That could be interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to think of something different, but those would still be, could be, have the potential to be equally great.
Yeah, it's just something that, you know, you're going to have to involve all these characters, and because everybody's off doing their own thing, especially the Legends, it seems like this season's going to be a little nutso for the Legends. We've talked about a little bit on this show and I think a little bit on The Flash just about how crazy that show is.
Uh-huh.
This one is like, the season they broke time and they are just kind of leaping all over trying to fix stuff. And there is just a Billy Zane is running a circus that's got like the Flying Graysons and Buona Beast in it and stuff. It's just, oh my God.
Legends fail me. Legends is where they're I don't even know. They're indulging themselves putting a history of DC characters in there.
It's its own little crisis on Infinite Earths over there.
It is. I really enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, you. There was one other thing you wanted to talk about with Stephen Amell, so I'm gonna give you that opportunity right here.
I did. Well, they on these panels they give the audience a chance to come up and ask questions, you know, and take turns and ask, and usually they're just some pretty cute, funny ones, or they'll ask them what's happening next season, and then of course they can't tell them, or something like that. But
I've got a question for Katie Cassidy. What's your phone number?
Hey, you know, she didn't give it to me, but I still am going to continue to try each year. So,
good luck.
No, what happened was a little girl, maybe 8-9 years old. She maybe even said, I don't remember, but her name was Sarah. She was dressed as Green Arrow from the TV series. And she told Stephen Amell a story about how she had was fighting cancer. And I think at this time she was cancer free, if I remember. But she was asking about,
his t-shirts, right?
His t-shirts, his organization or one that he helped support, F cancer ones that he had a few years back. And if he was going to be bringing that back. You almost saw tears in Stephen Amell's eyes, and he, said he did want to do something with them again. So hopefully that's coming up soon. I would love another shirt and maybe one I can, wear to the mall or I still
they
like
did
that
have
shirt.
A clean version that
they
you
did
buy.
Oh, mine was yeah, mine was the clean cancer, version. So. I didn't see that one. No, mine's not the
that
clean
was
version.
The second year that he did it, I think. Yeah.
He had her come down and he pulled off a necklace that he had around his own neck and gave that to her and said, I want you to come back next year and you can give this back to me. And you know, it was a very touching moment. And the reason I wanted to share it was because, again, Stephen Amell just proves what a class act he is and how much he is genuine and sincere about everything that he does. And he's definitely not a stranger to helping out at charity events. And he, even this summer, he did something at a place called, I can't remember the name of the bar, but it was sponsored by Rogue Beer.
Oh, Rogue Ales.
Rogue Ales, right. And
yeah.
He was doing stuff to raise money for Make-A-Wish in Oregon and stuff. But he's just a great guy and a really, really class act. I just want to say thank you for that. So that happened at the San Diego Comic-Con panel.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I have no reason to think that, you know, there's some times when things happen during panels that you feel are obviously a setup. First, you know, and usually it's just, you know, someone else coming out. Like the Defenders panel had, they were doing their panel, and then John Bernthal comes out as, you know, the Punisher and gets everybody excited. And then he's like, hey, why don't we show, like, a preview of my show? And so they did. But there, at no point when I see things like this with Steven do I even remotely feel like, you know, this is one of those things that, like, you know, his PR guy wanted to set up. Because you see how fans react to him in these random situations. If you've ever been to a convention with him, I mean, it's just like you said, it's all very genuine. And the fact that he, you know, chooses to take this arrow necklace that he said someone made for him off and give to her. And it's like, you know, you come back next year and you give it back to me and stuff like that. It's like, all right, how's that going to work? But I'm sure they were going to figure something out.
Yeah, so. They will figure it out, I think so. He's – anyway, great guy, you know, and he had a busy summer doing stuff like that and also working on Robbie Amell's project Code 8. They raised money for that.
Kickstarter project, right?
Yeah, yeah, Indiegogo, but same Indiegogo, type of thing, yeah. And it did raise the money that they needed, actually much more than they needed. So he's been working on that all summer. He's had a busy summer, and he's just a good guy. You know, he was on American Ninja Warrior and all kinds of good stuff. So
yeah. Well, that's cool. Hopefully we'll keep getting more information about what's going on with the upcoming season, and I'm sure there'll be a plenty of other things for us to tease when we come back in about a month or so. We'll probably be back around the end of August, trying to space our summer shows out to lead us up to the premiere, like I said, in the beginning of October. What was that? October 12th. Yeah. So we'll probably have another episode towards the end of August, and then one at the end of September, beginning of October, something like that. So, but for now, that's all we've got for this summer special. So, Josh, thanks for joining us on Green Justice, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, I hope you guys are all having a great summer. I know I'm enjoying it, and Jay and I have both been chatting and doing fun stuff all summer long. So we'll keep it up and share it with you guys. So. You know, hey, Green Justice is proud to be part of the Random Chatter Network. And if you like what we're doing at Random Chatter, you can help by supporting us and leaving great reviews on iTunes, telling your friends about our shows, and supporting us financially. So visit patreon.com/randomchatter to see all the contribution levels and the perks that we offer for each. A donation of just $1 a month can get you access to our Slack channel, where you can interact every day with our hosts, staff, and other fans. If you want to contact us directly, you can do that too. Send us an email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can find us over there on Twitter @GreenJusticePod, and you can visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And you can also check out our other shows that are being released with summer specials this weekend here. We've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, A Flash Podcast, which you can find all those at randomchatter.com. And they're available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And remember, if you guys don't keep listening, you have failed the city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.